It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study today on It's a Good Life picks up with Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Now, we've been studying through this book for a while now, and I pray that you are receiving a blessing from God's Word. Not from me, but from God's Word. Well, I trust that you have your Bible open and that as we read together, as you read with me, that God will open your mind and open your heart to what He has to say. Not only to you, but as we read to myself as well. Well, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." We remember Paul the Apostle here is speaking to Christians. Rejoicing, he says, and rejoicing in hope means our hope as saved people is best defined by Scripture. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." See, our hearts need to rejoice in that. There are so many things in the Scripture that tells us about rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord forever, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, and we need to rejoice in the Lord constantly as saved people. Well, I understand we all have a period of time in our lives when we feel a little down. We're human beings. But then we need to spring back and understand and grasp the promises of God that we are to rejoice in hope. And that hope is an assuredness of knowing that we're saved on our way to heaven and that one day we're going to see Jesus as He is and we're going to be finally made like Him completely when we see Him in person. Now, we're not going to become Jesus. We're going to be made like Him and we're going to see Him as He is. Well, the Bible says, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. When Romans chapter 12, verse 12, though the word patient here carries the idea of persevering, hanging in there. It says, continuing instant in prayer. This means that the believer is to be persistent, giving him or herself instantly. Being ready at all times to pray. Be ready. We need to be in an attitude of prayer. We shouldn't wait till things get bad in our lives and the cares of this world bog us down. We need to be praying all the time, trusting Jesus Christ to answer those prayers, that is, those prayers of saved people. Now, once again, a person who is not saved, the prayer that Jesus will answer is that prayer that says, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I'm sorry, Lord, for my sin. I know I can't save myself. I'm changing my mind right now, Lord. I'm not going to go my way any longer. I'm going to go your way." Well, that prayer from an unsaved person will lead that person to a saving knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Have you seen so far that Paul is talking to a Christian, that he's telling us the things that we need to do, that we need to be doing as Christians? And he says here, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. You see, Christians are to be willing to share financially and materially for the needs of other Christians, as well as being hospitable to strangers, those who are not saved. Now, we are to be kind to those people who are not saved. We need to reach those people who do not know Jesus as Savior. And I trust that you're doing that as a saved person, that you're sharing the Word of God, that you're sharing Jesus with this world. And when I say this world, I'm talking about the people of this world. Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 14 says this, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Believers are to express their heartfelt desire for the Lord to bless those who go about continually saying unkind things about them. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? But we can do it through the Lord. A natural reaction to persecutors would be to curse them, but instead we are to ask God's blessings for them. That sounds odd, doesn't it? But remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You see, now the only way we can really do that is in Jesus Christ, and that is by giving our lives to him completely. Now remember, in the first part of this chapter, Paul says, "I beseech you, I beg you, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord." Well, verse 15 in Romans 12 says this, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Now, we as Christians are members of the body of Christ. We are to partake of the joys and the sorrows of other saved people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27, it says, "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." We're all the same. We're saved people. There's not one person above another, but we're all the same in the sight of God. Romans 12, verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind one towards another." Now, he carries on that thought of verse 15 here. And be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be of the same mind. See, we are to live in harmony. Be harmonious, and this means harmonious with other believers. This does not mean we are robots who are not to express our thoughts on a matter. However, we are not to cause division in the body of Christ. Now, if we look on into this verse now, the last part of that verse says, "Be not wise in your own conceits." In other words, don't regard or show an excessively high opinion of your own qualities or abilities. Don't go around bragging about it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Remember, none of us is better than the other. We're all the same in Jesus Christ. Well, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Recompense to no man evil for evil means don't retaliate or try to get even with someone who has deliberately tried you and has done you harm in any way. Now, we're not to do that. We're not to retaliate against the person that would do us harm or says something bad about us. It doesn't mean you have to stand there and let somebody beat you up or shoot you or something like that. It means that we're not to seek vengeance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 says, "Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." That's a testimony. People will see that when somebody does you wrong and you don't retaliate. And that's one way to win people to Christ, is to let them see Christ in you. Now, verse 18 says this, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Live peaceably means to be at peace, to live in peace. And we as Christians cannot control every situation, but as far as the peace depends on us, we should never cause or initiate a disturbance of the peace with anyone. And verse 19 of Romans 12 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We see, it's all coming together, and he's carrying on this thought as we go down through these verses. Avenge not means don't get revenge or satisfaction by punishing the wrongdoer. give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, we are to step aside and leave the matter to God. God's wrath will take care of it at the right time and in the right way. And there are many other verses that talk about this. Now in Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, the Bible says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's odd sounding, isn't it? But you see, true love for one's enemy involves choosing to give to that person what he needs in spite of how we feel toward that person, for what that person has done to us. Then we see that the unmerited favor that we show our enemies brings them to a great point of shame, leaving them no excuse for being our enemies. Heaping coals of fire on their heads, well, it doesn't mean to hurt them. It means that they are without excuse then. That brings them to shame when we show them our love in the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord. Well, verse 21 goes on to say, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, this verse is teaching us not to give in to the morally wrong and sinful things of this world, but to rise above the evil by actively seeking the good of others and the good of God. And of course, we look to the Good Shepherd for victory. John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, who did no sin. And of course, that's speaking of Jesus. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You see, he was not deceitful. He said the truth. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, as we end this chapter, this concludes chapter 12, and we've learned that it is not the believer's job to punish evildoers. This is God's job. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. In chapter 13, we're going to see that it tells us that one of the ways that God punishes evildoers is through human government, which he has ordained and established. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, it talks about that, and we're going to see that as we go into that chapter. I pray that you are praying that God is going to open your mind and your heart to the things that he has for you as we study the scriptures in the book of Romans. Well, I'm praying for you. You say, well, you don't even know me. Well, God knows you. He knows whether you've trusted him as Savior or not, and he knows where you are. And I pray for you. I pray for each person who listens to this program. And I pray, first of all, that if you do not know Christ, you'll receive him as your Savior. And secondly, if you do know Christ as your Savior, I'm praying that you will get involved and let Christ use you in his work, that you will tell others about Jesus, that you will help others understand that they need Jesus the way you needed Jesus, and you've asked him into your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.